Want to feel more confident with your finances this year? If you have 60 seconds, I can show you how quick and easy it is to start building healthy money habits that could last you the entire year just by using Rocket Money. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link all your accounts and see your entire spending picture, your subscriptions, your upcoming bills, your due dates, everything. Step three, tap a subscription you don't use and cancel it. Boom! That's money back every single month. Step four, create a financial goal for something you want to save for, whether it be a vacation, a retirement account, or a pet's birthday. We don't judge. Now let the app automatically move small amounts of cash towards your goal. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you saved. Similar to the over 10 million members on the app that have saved up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Use the savings challenge as one step closer to feeling better about your finances today at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. One more time, it's rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Drew McIntyre here from WWE. Wielding the Claymore can be a life of chaos. When I'm not dominating in the ring, Chumba Casino is how this warrior takes a wee break. With hundreds of online social games and new weekly releases, there's always something fresh to try. And those daily boosts, next level. Even my free time feels like Valhalla. So when life feels like a battle, kick up your feet, have some fun, and let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
This week on The Breakup Breakdown.
We were having fun together. We were always having fun together. We were always traveling, always spending too much money. He was there through all of it. And then I got in my car to go somewhere and I found a list he had written. And it was a pros and cons list about me. And he left it in our car. One of the things was like, what kind of mother would she be? Because it came down to like my housekeeping. And I was like, if you didn't like it, like you could have showed me like how you want things done. Said you just write it down and leave it in our car for me to find. Like, I never meant for you to see that.
She keeps finding evidence her husband wants to divorce her like a game of Clue, and it's coming out of nowhere. Welcome to season 8, episode 1 of The Breakup Breakdown. I'm your host and lead relationship PI, Abby Murphy, and this week we've got a submission where someone says the love of her life blindsided her with a divorce and she doesn't want it. And this episode and other episodes of The Breakup Breakdown would not be possible without amazing submissions just like this. You can tag me on TikTok or Instagram if you want more details from somebody's breakup story, or you can submit your own breakup story, nominate a friend, or if you just want me to get a little nosy and slide into somebody you've been following on social media's DMs and ask them why they keep soft launching their breakup. We don't care where the story comes from. We just want to hear what happened and get some good lessons along the way. And as always, if you want to jump to a certain part of this interview, timestamps are always located in the episode description. Hey, Heartbreakers. Welcome back to another episode of The Breakup Breakdown. This week, we've got a submission where someone says they're currently in divorce proceedings, but she doesn't want to be. But before we get into that, every week, we give a shout out to a different domestic violence organization just to raise more awareness. And this week, we are shouting out the Orlando Hope and Justice Foundation. They have a vision and mission to be an international reference in preventing and combating human trafficking, domestic violence, and child sexual abuse and exploitation. For more information about this organization and how you can help out, check out more details in the episode description. Okay, so this is a submission that comes straight from my TikTok mentions. I love it when you guys tag me in stuff that you think would be so interesting to dive into. And this week's TikTok is actually somebody that stitched a former video that they had made while they were doing like a makeup get ready with me. She's sitting in front of her camera. She's talking about her husband and she is absolutely raving about him. And then she stitches this video in present day. And I guess since then, her feelings have changed.
My husband is the most incredible and supportive man I've ever had the pleasure of meeting.
So I take everything I said in that video back. This man decided to tell me via email that he was divorcing me while he was in Australia. So slander him all you want. I truly don't care. All men. I'm okay. I'm not okay, but what do you do? So I guess now I'm trying to monetize my divorce settlement because that's life. So you can follow along, comment, whatever. That's where we're at now. So much for dreams, just nightmares.
So when I saw that video, I was like, oh, this girl is ready to talk. And it sounds like she has an incredible breakup story to share with us. Because how do you go from being absolutely obsessed with your husband, seeing absolutely no signs of anything going wrong, and then all of a sudden it's like, yeah, screw this man, screw what he did to me. And you know what? I'm about to tell the whole internet what happened. So I also did a little bit of digging into her TikTok page as well. She also mentioned an email that came out of nowhere from him while he was out of the country. And it is a massive, massive piece to the puzzle as to what happened in this breakup story. So let's get the full details. Let's find out everything that went down when we break down this week's breakup.
I didn't realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a backseat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Game night's fun until someone spends 5 minutes lining up one shot. Chalk, breathe, re-chalk. Still aiming. While they figure it out, I fire up Chumba Casino. I can spin anywhere, anytime, and there's always a new social casino game every week. Spins happen way faster than that shot. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
I met him through a dating app 6.5 years ago. I was really in a place like I do believe in God and, you know, everything like that. So I was 28 and I was kind of like, hey, like, I'm ready to find my person. I want to get married. I want to have kids. I want that. So like dating in, I live in LA, is a nightmare. And, you know, I've been dating at that point for like 5-6 years and nobody was worth it. And I met this man who was about 10 years older than me and I was attracted to, and we had a really good first date. I didn't know if it was going to go anywhere. We kept hanging out and kept hanging out. And I think what I liked about it was, the reason I fell in love is because it felt like I was actually being courted, if that makes sense. Like, he was such a gentleman. He was so kind. He was communicative. He didn't ever like ghost me. He was at the time like honest with me about something heavy that he was going through and like asking if I was okay to like stick around and like during that. So I was like, okay, like he's in touch with like what he's going through and he wants me to be around. And then it just kind of gradually progressed into living together. Which, there was something that happened with all of that, that like looking back at, I'm so mad. I never been treated that kindly and felt so seen by somebody. So like when we decided to move in together, I had a cat. He was like 8 years old. I have two dogs now, but I had one dog then, but they're hypoallergenic. And he was deathly allergic to cats. And something that made me actually love him was that like he went and got allergy tested. He went and like asked if he could take shots, like so that I could have my cat with me. But the doctor was like, no, you'll literally die. Like, it's that kind of allergy. So I rehomed my cat for him, which was heartbreaking. I mean, he went to a wonderful family and I still sometimes get like pictures and updates and things like that. So I know he's thriving, but that was something really, really painful to do because I don't really believe in rehoming animals unless there is like an imminent danger. And in that case, I mean, there was. Yeah, that happened like when we moved in together and then our families met and that went pretty well. And we got engaged and then COVID hit and we weren't able to have our wedding. I think there was a part of me, and there's probably a part of all of us, who like really shifted in our personalities during COVID. I just became like hypervigilant and anxious. And he's very much like a sit back, like, it's all gonna be fine. It'll work out. It'll work out. Like, it's all gonna be okay type person. And I know he's brought up a lot in conversations about how like that was like a red flag for him, like my hypervigilance during that time. I was like, okay, well, sorry. I don't know. Like, he wasn't very good at like comforting me through any of it. That is what I noticed to be like a thread. He was not good at comforting. About a little over 2 years ago, I had a cancer scare where I had to go and, you know, have cells removed and all of that. And he really didn't meet me there at all with the compassion that I was needing from a spouse. But I let it go because, again, in other ways, he was always great. And within that same year, I also got laid off from my job that I had been working at for 6.5 years or so. And we had a vacation home in Florida, and we sold that. So money-wise, it kind of worked out at the same time because we made a huge profit on the house. I lost my job, but I got a severance pay. So I was like, it's going to be okay. Like, I'll find another job. I'll take the summer and fine tune my resume, have fun, whatever. Well, I did not find a job. I had applied to over 3,000 jobs before I found the one I have now, which we'll get to that. So I was depressed and reckless. I probably started drinking a little too much, but he was doing it with me. He was always by my side. It was always we were having fun together. We were always having fun together. We were always traveling, always spending too much money. He was there through all of it. And then I got in my car to go somewhere and I found a list he had written, and it was a pros and cons list about me. And he left it in our car.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
And you guys are married at this point, even though your wedding got postponed through COVID, yeah, you still got married.
Yeah, we did a mini Airbnb wedding.
Okay.
So one of the things was what kind of mother would she be? Because it came down to my housekeeping. He didn't like how I took care of the house. And I was like, if you didn't like it, you could have showed me how you want things done. So you just write it down and leave it in our car for me to find.
That's crazy.
I was like, I never meant for you to see that. And I actually I'm packing right now. And I found a love letter he wrote me after that day. And it says I'm so sorry I hurt you. I would never leave you. All of that kind of stuff. So we started couples counseling after that. And I really thought things were fine. I really, really did. We, at that point, had paid off all of our debt. We're going into 2024. He finally got his green card. One of the big things we wanted to do was travel abroad. So we went to Japan, had an amazing time. And then we went to Australia and New Zealand over Christmas. So we were doing what we said we were going to do. And that racked up a little more debt. But again, I was looking for work. He had a good job. And he had access to everything I had access to. It wasn't like I was hoarding the passwords and spending money and whatnot. He was also swiping the credit card and just not checking. So all of that happened. And again, I had no indication that he was considering divorce at all. So he started taking testosterone. And I don't know if that has anything to do with it, but everything just changed. Kind of he was really pulling away from me. And he would say things you never do anything I want to do. It always has to be what you want to do. And I'm like, then tell me what you want to do or plan something that you want to do. Why do I have to do all of it? I have to plan all of our dates. I have to cook all of our meals. I have to clean our house. Can you do something? I know you work. I know you, and that's great. And I appreciate it. But can you, I want romance too. So that was a contention because I kept saying I want quality time. He would tell me what he wants. And I'd be like, okay, great. I would love to meet you there, but I need quality time. And he just wouldn't do it. He has this friend that he was always with way more than he was with me. And this friend in my head, he has a type of personality that he could be a cult leader. Yeah. I can't stand this guy because we were having these issues. We were going to go back to couples counseling. But we were no, we're sticking this out. We're together. We're married. This is just one of those hard times in May. And I was you know what? Let me get on TikTok. Let me do some get ready with me videos. Let me try to pay off some of this vacation debt that we got ourselves into. If I'm not going to be able to find a job, I'm going to try to do something while I'm looking for a job. One night I went out with a girlfriend. I had a few too many margaritas and I came home not sober. And I guess he decided that that was it. The next week I was going to visit my niece and nephew in my hometown. So I was gone for a week and he accidentally sent me a text message that he meant to send to this friend that said, yeah, easy, bro. I'll be looking for my own place in a couple of weeks. No worries.
And that's how you found out that he wanted to leave you.
Well, that's how I found out that he was considering a separation.
Okay.
So I came home and we talked about things. It felt like we worked things out and he wasn't going to leave. And then I had something else that I had to leave town for. And during that time, one day he called me having a panic attack and he had to go to the ER, and it was because he was detoxing from the testosterone. And he said he was basically going through PMS, which I literally took a whole day out of my trip to be on the phone with him. And I was like, I can come home if you if you're okay. If you're not okay. He was like, no, I have so much more empathy for what you go through now. So again, I thought everything was going to be fine. I came home and he was so cruel and so cold, so cruel and so cold. And I was like, hey, can we talk? Can we get back on the same page? I don't know what's going on. And it feels like he just let everything fester. While I was on these two trips, it was he thought about all of the bad things. And I guess that had just to me, the bad things are the bad things. They happen, we grow and we let go. That's how I deal with them. He doesn't. he festers and he obsesses. He came to me with this proposal of like a long-term separation. One of his like whatever they're called, one of his needs that needed to be met. He's like, you need to get a part-time job. Like we're at the point where it or like a part-time job or a low-income job. Like you need to get some kind of job. Like that's kind of the point we're at now. And I was like, okay, cool. And like not to like shit on like McDonald's or anything, but through this whole time of me not having a job, I've been like, are we at the McDonald's point? Because he's the one making the money. So I'm like, are we there yet? Do I need to find that kind of job? And he was finally like, yeah, you need to find that kind of job. And I was like, okay, great. I did it. Within 3 days of him asking me, I found a job. It doesn't pay enough for me to live on my own, but it is full time and it would have been great supplementary income to get us out of that hole. So I did that. He was worried about my alcohol intake. So I, outside of like one day at this point, have been sober for almost 60 days. And there was something else that he asked too, but it doesn't really even matter anymore. Oh yeah, I was the overspender. I wasn't. If I look at the credit card statements, it's like neck and neck with what we were both doing. Yeah, first it was supposed to be a separation. And I was like, okay, like, what does this look like? We went to our therapist. He wanted a year-long separation where he went and got a new lease and he provided no financial support for me whatsoever. And we only saw each other twice a month. And I was like, well, that's not going to work for me. I came to the table. I was like, here's my negotiation. He was like, well, that's not going to work for me. I was like, I know, but this. That's why we're negotiating. But going back to the animal thing, one of his things was he wanted to rehome the dogs. He said he didn't want to live with animals anymore. And I was like, no. And we got our second dog, and he was like, I didn't even want, just told you that you could have him so that you would be happy. And I was like, you don't do that. You don't do that. Yeah. He was like, I just don't want to live with animals anymore. And I was like, okay. They're both hypoallergenic and they're both potty trained, and we go on plenty of walks, and they are so sweet. But I was like, I'm not going to make some concession and give up these two beings that I love so much when you can't even promise me that you want to be with me, like with how you're acting. Like, that's just not going to work. And he wouldn't let it go. He would not let anything go. It was either everything was his way, there was no negotiation, or he was done. So that went on for like a week or two. And then he went to Australia, which I did know about. And I wrote him an email, like a nice email. And I put like a photo album of like all of our like photos and like memories and stuff together. And I was like, hey, like I understand like where I went wrong. I understand that like the path that we were both on has kind of like diverged, but like I want to get back on it together with you. So everything that's been said at this point, everything that's been said to hurt one another or do anything like that's in the past for me. Like, I love you. I want you to take this trip, enjoy your time with your mom, and come back. So he said he promised he would like look at everything and think of everything. We had agreed that we would give up our apartment on August 1st. Whether we were moving out together or separately, we didn't know. But we were like, okay, like we both want out of here. And I'm working for an apartment management company. So it's like, if we go together, I can get us cheaper rent somewhere, and that'll also help us save money. So my mom came out to help me like pack and get all my stuff together and like go through everything, because I was really like just a raw nerve at that point with how much back and forth had been going on and how much I felt like I had my, like, I don't know who I was arguing with. It was like I was arguing with somebody else to get my husband back, because that wasn't the man that was like standing there. And it was so confusing. It's still so confusing because it's still happening. So the day before he sent the now infamous email, last year around this time, we were going through the process of adoption, and like one thing led to another. And then we decided like, okay, like next summer, like we're going to try to start having a baby and start our family. We've done the trips we wanted to do. Like, it's time. I'm going to be 35. He's going to be 45. I had gotten like a crib and like set our guest room up like for a home study and all of that kind of stuff. And he was texting me that the day before he sent the email, he was texting me, was again very cold and very cruel about certain things. And I was just like, hey, like, I understand we're going through a tough time. I just took down the nursery that we built together last year. I don't mind if you need me to address a couple of things, but like, can you please approach it with a little bit of kindness? He read it, he didn't respond, and he sent the email in the middle of the night, LA time. So it was the first thing I saw when I woke up.
What was in the email?
It was a chat GPT, like formal notice of intent to divorce or something like that. Thank goodness my mom was here. He said since that like he did it because he knew my mom was here and I'd be taken care of. And I was like, no, you didn't. No, you didn't. You don't do that via email, regardless. So there's been a ton of back and forth since then. I saw him for the first time on Friday, and it was not good. He's not staying here. He's staying somewhere else. Since my mom was here, thank goodness, I was able to like rally. I have an apartment for the 14th, like through my company. It's close to my work. So I'm just getting everything together for that. But like, I don't want this. Like, I still don't want this. So even like my TikTok videos and things like that, like, yeah, maybe funny, but one, he's fighting how much he wants to pay me in spousal support, despite the fact that it's just a formula. And two, And I'm trying to do it as like amicably as possible. I have a lawyer. My family, my grandma was like, I'll pay for it. And I was like, well, lawyers are really expensive out here. She's like, get the best one you can find, the one who's been in practice for the longest time, and it's just gonna take what it's gonna take. So I've had like meetings with them and like trying to like mediate it on my own a little bit, like eliminate the cost on my grandma. But yeah, he's just not like even following the law. So I was like, you know what? Like I need it's the age of internet validation. And I remembered that I had posted that video about like trying to raise money for his TV show that he's making and for my event business. And I was like, I'm just gonna go stitch that. Like I was having a really good, like a good day that day, my first like good day since all of this had started. And I was like, that's really funny that I just said that and now this is happening. And apparently other people thought so too. But yeah, that's kind of where it's at right now. We're supposed to talk tomorrow night. I don't know. I sent him like I think the part that's like suckiest about it all is like I've done this online, but like I can't guarantee that if he's like, hey, like I was wrong and we need to work on things, like that I wouldn't do it because like I do believe in my vows. And like I said, this isn't the man I married. So if I see glimpses of the man I married again, then I would want to go back to that and I'd want to try to find a way through it. So that's the story.
Oh my God. Well, I'm sorry you're going through that because I know you didn't say those vows thinking that this would be where you're at, what, 5 years later? So I'm really heartbroken for you. And the fact that you still want to get back with him, I think speaks volumes of how much you really love him or loved him. I don't know if that's in the past or not, but I'm curious about his reaction to about you speaking out about y'all's breakup so publicly. Like, has he said anything to you about it?
He's not on TikTok, so I don't know if he even knows. I also have blocked him on social media for my own well-being. I had his phone number blocked for a little bit, but then there was an emergency, so like we can communicate via text and via email now. So yeah, I don't know if he knows, but I haven't said his name. I mean, people who know us know, but like strangers won't know
Yeah.
either.
You seem to be really open to getting back together, but from what I'm hearing about his side, he seems very against any kind of reconciliation. Why do you think that is?
I think a lot of it is the influence that this friend has on him. I don't know. Like, I shouldn't want to get back together with him because he said stuff like, I'm just so tired of managing your emotions. And I'm like, I manage your emotions so, like, you have panic attacks like every other week in the middle of the night. And like, I was there with you through all of those. Our needs were always met, even when I wasn't working. Like, so I don't know. I shouldn't want him back after hearing all of that, but it's just basically him. And he's just like, I want peace. And I'm like, okay, well, I don't understand because one of the things you said, he also said like the fact that we hadn't had kids yet was like a thing. And I was like, we were talking about it, but like you want peace. Like that's not parenthood. Like parenthood is totally chaos. Like it's all contradictions. He also told our marriage counselor that he saw that I was failing managing the finances. And instead of stepping up to help me, and these are his words, I decided to sit back and let it happen because I decided that's the only way she's going to learn her lesson. He also keeps telling people that I need to face the consequences of my actions. And I'm like, what actions? What actions are you to also, what husband says those things? The reason he's like wanting to fight the alimony stuff is because he's like, no, you need to accept the consequences of your actions. I'll give you what I'm going to give you. And he's not like saying those words, but that's like what it's alluding to. I'm like, no, bro, the consequence for me is the divorce. Losing the love of my life, like that's a big enough consequence. I'm just asking for what's legal and fair at this point. You go have your peace. You go have your life if that's really what you want. But like, I'm not backing down on this.
So, despite everything that's happened between you two, you still view him as the love of your life.
Yeah, I do.
And why do you think he's the love of your life?
I still get butterflies when I see him. We have so much fun together. He can be so gentle and so caring and so thoughtful. That's why all of this stuff, like, it's just not him. It's not him. Oh my gosh, I'm just remembering things. So, like, one thing he told me was like, he was talking about, he's like, you hate men. And I was like, I don't hate men. Like, I hate how a lot of men act, but like, I don't hate men. And he started going off on this, like, not all man tirade on me. And I was like, whoa, 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 this is not you. And then he started saying something about, like, do you know that, like, white men make up X amount of, like, suicides because there's just so much pressure on men? And, like, women don't even want men if they're, like, not over 6 feet tall and, like, ripped and all of that. And I'm like, three things. Number one, you are over 6 feet tall. Number two, you are ripped. Number three, you're not white. So what does this have to do with, oh, it's your friend. You're describing your friend. And there was just all of this like misogyny that was coming out of him that never, never in my like wildest dreams, like did I think would come out of this man's mouth. But it's his friend. And like that's how his friend is.
Why do you think his friend has so much influence over him?
Like I said, he has that like enigma of like a cult leader.
Yeah. Well, he clearly respects him because you wouldn't follow somebody that you don't respect.
Yeah. And he's also divorced.
And he's also divorced. So that makes a lot more sense. So he's like spewing, well, when I was feeling this way in my marriage, I just got out, bro. It was fine.
Exactly.
Well, that's frustrating, especially because as I've always viewed marriage as like you are that other person's number one priority. And so it's got to be incredibly frustrating to almost have like, I want to use the word infidelity, like this friendship, like this having an emotional affair with his best friend.
Yeah. I mean, that's how it feels. Like it's felt like that for a long time. And I've been like, you spend more quality time with him than you do with me. And it really hurts. And like, I'll go do stuff with you that you want to do. Like, just don't tell me like right when you want to do it. Give me some time. I don't know. It's just,
So do you see any potential in him that you think he's going to come back to the person that you married? And if so, what do you think it's going to take for him to get there?
I think like, because it's so fresh right now, like I have to, like once I fully let that go, it's going to like kill me if I just completely let that go. And so I'm just not ready yet. And we'll see what happens. But I don't know. I mean, I would just like, I want my husband back. I don't want this like cruel guy that I would have never married back. Like I want my husband. And I will say this. He's been a lot more assertive about his needs, because one of the things he was saying was that like, I couldn't anticipate his needs. And I'm like, you shouldn't expect anyone to anticipate your needs. You need to communicate them. And I mean, I do anticipate certain needs, like you need food, you need, like, we both need clean laundry, clean dishes. Yeah. Like, and basic needs, like, yeah, I can expect, but like very specific ones, like you're going to have to tell me. And he's like, no, I wouldn't have to tell like a partner that I was compatible with, like what my needs are. They would just know and they would do them. I was like, what? So he's been more assertive about like what his needs are through this process. And I'm like, okay. If we can get rid of the cruel part of the assertiveness, like I would take that quality because I'd love to know your needs and I'd love to be able to meet them. But if I don't know what they are, you can't take all this out on me. And that's exactly what he's doing. Mm. So that's what I meant by him like stuffing everything down and it like festering.
I can tell that you're still like in the trenches of everything, obviously, because the divorce is not finalized and there's a lot of back and forth. And it seems like those conversations with him have been really difficult. So how are you coping with this really difficult season of your life?
I am trying to stay as sober as I can. It's not easy. I don't think I necessarily had an alcohol problem before, but I did have an impulse control problem. So I'm actively working on that. I haven't fully succeeded. There have been other impulses that I did that were not good, but there's no smooth way to handle any of this. So I'm trying to be gracious with myself. And I keep reminding myself that like, I have loved this man with everything I have in me, and I still love him despite all of this. So like, he can say whatever he wants, but my conscience is clear. So that's what I'm doing, trying to take care of myself the best I can.
If you could envision yourself 2 years from now, in a perfect world, what do you think that life will look like for you? And how do you think you will have changed over the course of the next 2 years? Where are you in 2027?
It sucks. Like I still want him to come back, and I want him to apologize to like my people and be like, hey, like, I don't know if that was a midlife crisis or what that was, but like, I'm here, I'm back. And like, us to start our family like we planned, and, you know, grow together, and like our dreams, like his writing dreams and like my event planning dreams, like that's the dream. That's the, like, that's the high, like the highest dream I can have. Without him, I just hope that I am myself. I don't lose myself. I can support myself, my business. I mean, regardless, I want my event planning business to take off. But yeah, I don't really have, like, I'm still working on coming up with dreams and goals that are just for me, because he was my dream. Like, our marriage was my dream. And so like, I've had that taken away. And so I guess it's like right now, like day to day to survive. So, yeah.
I'm sorry to hear that. I think we've kind of covered everything, unless there's anything more you want to chat about. I always like to end on like an emotional note, whether it be an emotional high or like an emotional low. I'm listening to you talk, and I'm like, oh my God, I want to follow up with you in 2 years and see like how far you've come and like your event planning business that's come to fruition, like whether that's with him or with not, or with him or without him.
Arrow. I'll plug it really quick.
So like, insert here.
Arrow events on Instagram, archer.arrow.events. I essentially throw parties in Los Angeles. I also do private and public event planning. I've been doing that for years in corporate. But yeah, I throw private events that benefit a nonprofit every month. It's fully just like going to people in need. We did like the fires, and then I did autism awareness. I have a Pride Month event at the end of this month. It was supposed to be last month, but with everything going on. And then I'm going to do a fundraiser for myself. And I'm going to bring back what we did for Fires, which I called it Feminine Rage, an axe throwing experience. And it was Taylor Swift themed.
I'm
And
obsessed.
I am going to do that again. And all of my events have something to do with Taylor Swift because I'm a huge Swiftie. So.
Yeah, I love her. So then I'll ask you this question. If you had to assign a Taylor Swift song to what you're going through right now, what have you been playing on repeat?
There's two.
Okay.
LOML.
Oh, I love that one.
And We Were Happy.
Oh,
That's what's been on repeat.
devastating. Well, I hope for you to get in your so high school era sometime soon.
I know my friends have been like, you've had your Joe Alwyn 6 years. Now you get your Travis Kelce summer. I'm like, I'm
Yes.
ready to think about that.
Travis Kelce is on the way.
On Thursday, we will have the first breakdown bonus episode of the season, and it's a conversation all about how friendships can impact your relationship. And maybe even a couple controversial questions like, does your partner have any say over who you get to be friends with? It's all coming up, but I'll see you whenever you decide to tune in next.
Drew McIntyre here from WWE. Wielding the Claymore can be a life of chaos. When I'm not dominating in the ring, Chumba Casino is how this warrior takes a wee break. With hundreds of online social games and new weekly releases, there's always something fresh to try. And those daily boosts, next level. Even my free time feels like Valhalla. So when life feels like a battle, kick up your feet, have some fun, and let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.